Matthew chapter number 1, if you will. Matthew chapter number 1. And then at the same time, if you will, Isaiah chapter 7. In fact, we'll start in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 7. And then we'll progress over to chapter 8 before we go to Matthew chapter number 1. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." You know, when the Bible says the Lord himself, in the New Testament it says the Lord himself shall descend. And there's some things God's just not going to trust men to do. Amen. And so here the Bible says, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then in chapter number 8, if you will, and verse number 8, and I think maybe I wrote down the wrong reference. No, I did not. And the Bible says, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of the land, O Emmanuel. That's the only two places in the Old Testament the word Emmanuel is used. Now if we'll go over to the New Testament in Mark chapter number 1, Mark chapter number 1, or Matthew chapter number 1, I'm sorry, yes. Wanted to see if you're all paying attention. Glad to find out that you are. Didn't surprise me, but I'm glad to find out you are. Amen. And verse number 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And so as you look at these two portions of Scripture, we see a difference in the spelling. We see a difference in the announcement. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "She shall call his name Emmanuel." And here the Bible says in verse number 23, it says, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel." And then God gives us the interpretation of it here. Again, I think perhaps just so that we don't get it messed up. The Bible says his name interpreted, which is God with us. And so tonight we want to consider that thought, God with us. Now, the saved, for a saved born-again person, the Lord's presence ought to be a certain thing. It ought to be an absolute established thing. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." We'll mention more about that later. But the Lord is always with us if we're saved. There's never a time when he can't be found, never a time when he can't be heard from or will not listen to us, and unless he's turned us off because we're living in sin and refusing to do something about that. But the Lord is always with us. But there's times when it seems like he's just so close and so real. It's almost like you can just almost smell him or sense him. And we don't deal much on feelings, but there's times when it seems like you can almost feel the presence of God, the closeness of the Lord Jesus. There's other times when it seems like you're saying, "Yoo-hoo, Lord, you searched for Adam, and now I'm searching for you. I don't know where you're at." But I promise you, whether he's very, very near seeming, or he seems like he's 1,000 miles away, the Lord, the Bible says, is always with us. And we need to understand that. That's a tremendous thought, I believe. God with us. Not the President of the United States with us. Not the executive of some big company with us. I guess if the President of the United States was with us, you'd have both of those ones. You have the President and the executive of a large company, several large companies probably. But it's not that. This is God with us. The one who is the creator, the one who is the sustainer, the one who gave his life that we might have life. Just a wonderful thought. He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Bible says he's with us. Now, children sing about God being with us. They sing that song in Sunday school. They'll sing, "With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm." And that's true. That's true. If Christ is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And then adults sing the same truth in in our hymn book and hymn page number 96, it says he abides. Now, speaking about God, the Holy Spirit, he abides, hallelujah, he abides. Jesus is always there. And then in Psalms 90, or in page number 92, hymn number 92, it's each step I take, he's right there with me. Every step I take, God with us. And so we want to notice some things about that. Now, there's some truths I think we ought to think about as we think about God being with us. And some of those truths are these. Number one, he existed before he came in the manger. God with us, he existed prior to coming in the manger. And if you would, you can go to the book of John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, and we'll look at a couple of verses here showing the fact that Jesus was here before he came in the manger. He did not begin in the manger. John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice that's capitalized W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your Jehovah's Witnesses have changed that to say was a God, small g, and we know that that's heresy. And verse number 2 says, the same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we know that he existed before he existed here. He was the creator, the sustainer. He was God in human flesh. And then his purpose for coming in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many times did Jesus say that they that are sick, or they that are well, have no need for a physician, but they that are sick? And so he didn't come to reach the righteous person that think they didn't need him. Now, he would reach them, and some of them did reach out to him. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man that reached out to Jesus. Nicodemus was a wealthy man that reached out to Jesus. But most of the wealthy people thought that they had arrived there on their own accord, their own account, and most of them didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus. So he came to the simple people because simply he didn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He didn't come to make himself a name. He didn't come to become well known. He came to save that which was lost. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That's Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. And so all of this happened in the life of the Lord Jesus. And now, one other place, and I won't ask you to turn a whole lot of places tonight, but the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, as we're thinking tonight about God with us. God with us. What a wonderful thought, God with us. Beginning in verse number 14 of Hebrews chapter 2. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's the Lord Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. We find that Jesus Christ is with us, and he's with us for a reason. Now think with me for a little bit. God was among them. In John chapter 1 and verse number 14, we looked at it a while ago. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 21 says, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. God with us. God, Jesus going in and out among us. And of course, because he does, he can understand us. He can understand what we're going. People today, and I know there are people today, probably people that are associated with Bethel Baptist Church, that think that nobody understands what they're going through. Nobody knows. Nobody understands, but God does. The Lord Jesus does. He came. He lived amongst people. He knows what we go through. He knows what a heartache is. You see, he not only is with us, he became one of us. So that he knows the temptations, he knows the trials, he knows the labor, he knows the work, he knows the heartache, he knows the disappointments, he knows the traitorism of people, he knows the favoritism of people. He knows, he understands all those things. And so when we go to him in prayer, it's not like we're talking to somebody we have to explain everything to. I was praying with Brother Boonstra this morning, and God almost rebuked me even while I was praying, because I was telling God things that God already knew. And I know he knew him, and Brother Boonstra knew he knew him, and God knows, certainly knew he knew him. Listen, God knows everything. He knows every thought of our life. He knows everything about us. And a lot of that was precipitated by the fact that he lived here. And not only did he abide with us and live with us and be God with us, but he also became one of us. He took upon himself the form of flesh. He took upon himself the seed of Abraham. He wasn't made in the image of an angel. He didn't take upon himself the nature of an angel, Hebrews tells us. He took upon himself the seed of Abraham. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 17, the Bible says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Someone says, God doesn't understand this, but he does. Now your preacher may not, your parent may not, your child, your children, your neighbor may not, but I assure you, God understands the pressures you're going through. God understands what is going on in our life, and that's one of the reasons he came, to give us victory over the things that we go through in our life. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the infirmities of or with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, thank God for those last three words, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 2 says, who can have compassion on the ignorant? I know a lot of people Jesus not having much compassion on because they don't know they're ignorant. Didn't Jesus say about a whole church professing, or a whole people in Romans, he said professing himself to be wise. One of the churches in Revelation, it just slipped my mind, but one of the churches in Revelation, he said something to the essence of they thought they were more than what they really were. We need to understand we're ignorant people. We're sinners saved by grace. At the very best, we're sinners saved by grace. We need to understand that. And so the Bible says he can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Have you ever been out of the way? If you've never been out of the way, how'd you get into the way? If you've never been out of the way, how did you get in the way? Well, I've always been a Christian. You know, I was raised a Christian. I was baptized when I was just a baby, and I've always been a Christian. No, 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 no. There was some time you were out of the way. And if you haven't known that you were out of the way, then you still are. You know, it's funny how when you get lost, sometimes you're the last one to realize that you're lost. People who are lost spiritually, sometimes they're the last ones to realize it. But the Bible says of the Lord Jesus that one of the reasons he came, one of the reasons it was God with us, is so he could save the ignorant, have compassion on the ignorant, and on them that are out of the way, them that are lost. He wants to put them in the way, the straight and the narrow way. He wants to take them off the broad road and put them on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. The Bible says, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And so Jesus understands where you're at tonight. He understands, you folk that are watching on live stream, he understands where you're at. He understands your heartaches. He understands your disappointments. He understands when you think no one else does. And there may be other people that understand too. Maybe your pride is keeping you from understanding that folk understand sometimes more than you think they do. So God was among us. Secondly, God was for us. God was for us. You know, God gets a bad rap. And even sometimes on Christmas, when we're supposed to be celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ came, and for one reason, he was going to be raised, and he was going to be put on display. He was going to prove to the world he was sinless. Then he was going to go to an old rugged cross and be crucified destroyed physically by the most, the cruelest type of death that had ever been devised up to that point anyway. He came for them. And yet we sometimes complain and we quarrel with God. We believe that God has made mistakes that God has not made. And the fact is, God's not a party pooper. My son uses the term a cosmic killjoy. He's not out trying to ruin your party. He's not out trying to ruin your life. He's not trying to put you in a box where you have no fun. He's wanting you to enjoy life and end up in heaven, rather than just to enjoy the flesh and end up in hell. He came. He loves you. He understands. And so God is not only among us, but God is for us. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11 says, "For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God said, "I want you to have peace, and I want you to have joy. I want you to have happiness, and I want you to come to this expected end and be thrilled when you get there." You see, we're all coming to an end one day. Every one of us is coming to an end one day. I was able to visit with one of my neighbors. Actually, I visited with four of my neighbors yesterday, and one of them had a really good visit with him. Just really a good visit. And I sure hope that we get to see him come to the proper end, the end that the Lord Jesus has planned for him, God's expected end. God is for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died," listen, "for us." Not only did he come among us, but he came for us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31, the Bible says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Listen, there's I'm not challenging the devil on anything. I learned a long time ago not to do that. I've done foolish things like that to my regret more than once. And so I'm not challenging the devil, but if we had nothing, if we had absolutely nothing good at all except the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got more than the world could ever give us. And it came to us wrapped up as a little babe placed in a manger by his mother, watched over by his foster father, whom I may preach about on Sunday, I'm not sure. But the Bible says that if God be for us, you see, he's not only amongst us, he's for us. That's a fact. God is for us. And if he's for us, who can be against us? Israel thought that Goliath could be against us. Well, David and God showed that wasn't true. And Nebuchadnezzar thought that he could be against people. He found out you can't be against God's people. And Artaxerxes and others have found that, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption," listen, "for us." He did that for us. And I'm glad that God didn't just say, "having obtained redemption." because that would maybe indicate that it could be lost and gained again and lost and gained again. But the Bible said here that what he obtained for us was eternal redemption for us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 24 says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." For us. There's a lot in the news today, not just this calendar day, but I mean, I'm talking about this time in history. There's a lot in the news about people accepting large amounts of money to gain people into the presence of certain people. You hear it every day. Every day you hear it. If you're listening to the news, if you're reading the news, if you're up on the news on your phone at all, every day you hear something about somebody being paid a large amount of money so he could introduce somebody from another country to somebody important in our country. Happens and happens over and over and over again. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that Jesus is now appearing in the presence of God for us. And you know how much it cost me to get Jesus to represent me before his Father? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. And if I paid something to get anyone to represent me before the Father, it didn't work. You can't buy and sell salvation. And Jesus Christ today appears in the presence of God for me, for you, for us. And that ought to get us excited. We ought to have ourselves a spell. My wife says sometimes, and she says this sometimes when during the music program and sometimes during singing and preaching, you know, she says, "Whew, I could have done a lap around the church." God's people ought to do that once in a while. I'm not talking about a lap around the church, but they ought to feel like they can take a lap around the church. And if you want to take a lap around the church sometime, if you're running on good ground, man, I'll stand and watch you. I'll cheer you all the way. Amen. And we ought to get excited about the fact that God, Jesus, who God with us, chose to come into this world as a little baby, grow up, die, resurrect from the grave, walk with his disciples, prove he's alive, prove that he's powerful, step on a cloud, ride back to the right hand of God the Father, and there today he's making intercession for us. And so the Bible testifies God is among us, God is for us, and then let me say to you today that God is still with us. Not only was he with us then, but he's still with us. In John chapter 14 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him," speaking of the Spirit of God, "but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Chapter 16 and verse 7, he continues the same thought. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he was come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment." Jesus said, "I'm going back to the right hand of the Father. And one of the bonuses for you, for me going, is that I'll send the Holy Spirit of God. And you have known him, but he's going to indwell in you when he comes." And so the Holy Spirit of God is God with us. God with us. And we ought to cherish that. We ought to get excited about that. John 16, verse number 13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Because he's still with us. God is still with us. Emmanuel is still here. Emmanuel is in our life. The Holy Spirit of God is still with us. And then we find that Emmanuel was not just a temporary presence. Not just a temporary presence. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, the Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There's another verse for eternal security. There's another verse for eternal peace. There's another verse for eternal glory to God. It's just a good verse. I am with you always. And then Hebrews 13:5, we started out the service with this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So even when your tire goes flat in the middle of the busiest highway in town, when you lose your job and things aren't going right, when you think nobody knows and nobody cares, I'm here to tell you that God with us was not a temporary thing. God didn't start a work. He which hath begun a good work in you will continue it, the Bible says. And it all happens because God is with us. The song says, because he's with us. Oh, I wish I could sing. Somebody said, Brother Weaver probably thought that several times too. I wish he could sing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God with us. You know, introducing the Lord Jesus to our friends, our family members, our neighbors, to people we find that are struggling with different things, introducing him, really, it's just a matter of understanding how much he cared. They would come and go through all he went through for us. For us. Because of what he did, if you've trusted in that, you're on your way to heaven. And that ought to get you excited enough to tell anybody that would stop long enough for you to talk to them. Jesus saves. He really is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. God with us. Let's pray.